What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California, for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me across the way, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother? Look at that, Nemeth Bros.
Bought from Pro Wrestling Tees at a $19.99 price with a special bonus of no holes.
Wow. Did you have to pay? You didn't pay extra, right? For the no holes?
I asked for holes, and they didn't do it. So it's total reverse psychology.
When is Earl not asking for a hole?
Yeah,
I
mean, there you go.
But I do it with the other person consenting to it.
I was waiting for his tag there.
That's improv.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask if you were if you got that at the Hunkamania in Vegas.
But I wasn't invited.
Oh.
So this, I love this business. Only get those guys two shows at the toughest club in the country to get stage time and don't even get an offer to play Vegas.
Boo.
I'm done helping people.
Oh, boy. You heard it here
done.
First.
So you want a show in the belly room or the main room? Good luck.
Well, hey, we had an incredibly long weekend of pro wrestling, which is I forced these guys in here to talk about because it's a lot, and I don't want to leave it for next week. But yeah, we had Night of Champions to start the weekend. I think that was on Friday or Saturday.
Saturday,
Night of Champions. But it was like 10 a.m., which is weird as fuck.
I think you can guess I didn't watch it.
I'll tell you what, though. As I'm getting older, I think I kind of prefer the morning pay-per-views because I got to be, you know, go do other things afterwards. It was kind of nice. I had a whole day.
I loved it. Yeah. And I forgot. I thought it started on when it was actually starting on Eastern time, so I was expecting it at 1 p.m.
Ah.
So I was when you started posting shit, I was 3 hours behind.
Gotcha.
And yeah. I was just like, great, now I have something to watch.
He's the king spoiler breaker.
Oh, like. My God. Are we getting a lot of hate DMs because of it?
No, haven't had anybody. Yeah. I actually got comments of people like commenting along because it's kind of like a watch along. At least that's how I treat it. Like I'm watching it. It's on. If you're on social media, you're going to get spoilers from every other source. So might as well join in on the fun. And I do. I get people that comment and send messages whenever I post shit. So I don't know. If you guys don't want me to spoil pay-per-views for you anymore, let me know in the comments and I'll stop. But I think it's a little fun.
I think we should put a story up explaining that.
Like, okay.
For my benefit, like every AEW match, I'm like, oh, Wardlow just did a swanton off a ladder. Cool.
Yeah, well, you know, sorry. I try to stay live. We try to keep this going. But we got the Night of Champions had the most awkward three main event. Like, don't do that anymore. Even fucking Double or Nothing had two main events. How about one main event? How about not having one of your main events open the night? What is this?
I think the main event should always be your champion.
Yeah, or at least the last match of the night. That's the main event, right?
I mean, that's MJF. I mean, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or Roman Reigns or whoever.
The world champion of that company should be the main event, right?
That's how it was with Hogan. And
yeah.
Or if they're, sometimes they'll do that if there's going to be a continuing story throughout the night. Like
sure.
If there's going to be something that happens at the end of the night or there's going to be something in the middle of the pay-per-view, then I'm okay with them starting that story early. Like if we know that someone's going to cash in money in the bank or we know someone has money in the bank, I'm okay with a title match happening and then having that suspense for the rest of the pay-per-view. This was a waste. And don't even get me started on Monday Night Raw with AJ showing up.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But
WWE has stolen some AEW writers. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, it's really wild to have three main events. It's the dumbest thing I've heard on television. I can't buy it. Also, completely devalue your World Heavyweight Championship by making it one of three main events and having it be the first main event. Think your opening contest is your main event. Like, what the fuck? That makes zero sense. But anyway, Seth Rollins is now your new World Heavyweight Champion, as I predicted, because AJ, you know, buried the fucking title in an interview the week before. It was kind of predictable. WWE.com has now confirmed that it is not the old world heavyweight lineage. It is only been, there's only been one champion, and he's been champion as long as Rollins has been champion, according to their website. So,
wait, what?
Yep. If you go to WWE.com and look up the World Heavyweight Championship, there's only ever been one person to hold it, and it's Rollins, and he's had it as long as he's had it so far. That's it. There's no.
That's weird because I heard it was the lineage from the 2013 belt.
Exactly. That tells you how much continuity and organization the WWE has, where they have they don't know how to tell people what's going on. The belt is brand new, apparently, according to their website. They said on TV they said it was the lineage, but on their website it's not. So who knows? Good on Seth Rollins, I guess. You know, people get to sing the song now for even longer. I wish AJ had won that match. But anyway, what did you think about that match?
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't watch Night of Champions. I don't support the Saudi Arabia political...
I agree with you.
That guy killed Khashoggi, the journalist.
I was going to talk about this. I think
I'm serious, though. Like
I know, and I don't approve of that. And but I also, it's weird watching the progress of Saudi Arabia
from what I'm saying.
From the first event to now, where the women had to wear T-shirts over their full body costumes, uniforms.
Also, the front like hard cam was just all dudes in the getup. This time, it just felt like a lot of normal dressed folk, a lot of children. I don't know. I hate the political aspect and all the horrible things that they've done over there, but I'll get to that moment. But seeing Sammy walk out, seeing Sammy's, like, they shot video of him going to Mecca, like,
and they went nuts when he came out for the press conference the week the night before.
Yeah,
they went fucking nuts for him.
Yeah, he spoke in the language in the ring. I don't know. To me, I felt like, yes, they are a horrible, horrible, you know, country that do horrible things, but there seems to be some kind of progress, at least culturally there, that maybe there's a chance that down the road it won't be so horrible over there.
I mean, it's tough, man. They killed that guy.
Yeah.
They didn't just kill him. They dismembered him. I'll watch the next pay-per-view, but I must be getting older because that actually bothers me. Before, you know... Oh, great. They're responsible for his death, but who's in the main event? Like, now it's just like, I'm good.
No, I totally get it. And I understand anybody that's a fan that's watching that's upset about that. I completely get it. I have my issues where I almost didn't watch it, but I felt an obligation because of the show and everything to just keeping.
You would have watched it anyway. Don't act like you did it for the best of the show.
Maybe. But either way, so Seth Rollins, new champ. I also have here the bloodline story. They reeled me back in. I got to tell you, I was starting to lose interest. This whole thing with Sammy and KO and Jimmy and the teasing of like what's going to happen. It finally reeled me back in with the Usos coming out to help. Roman getting upset that they were there, started pushing him around. And Jimmy finally did the super kick heard around the world. Twice, hit him twice with a super kick in the face, betrayed the bloodline. Jay seemed a little, he wasn't sure what to do. Like he called Roman by his real name, Joe. Like it was a very dramatic scene, and I got to give it to them. The acting and everything has just been top notch. The bloodline story still continues to deliver. But yeah, KO and Sammy. One, kept the belts. They had that incredible shot of Sammy holding the belts over Roman while Roman was on the floor. Great work all around, I would say.
I will say I did see those highlights. That was my second favorite super kick of the weekend.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that one, I know. I know which one you're talking about.
What a waste of some Jordans, man.
Also, at Night of Champions, the women's division. I mean, again, talking about the progress that's been going on over there, we had three women's matches. That's unheard of. Becky versus Trish Stratus was an interesting match. I didn't really care much for the story that's going on there, but they had an interesting match. And then at the end, Zoe Stark was hiding under the ring, came out from under the ring and helped Trish Stratus to win the match. So that was fun.
I think that was a weak, because I've seen highlights. I just didn't watch the whole card.
Yeah.
You know, of all the potential returns, Orton, Bray Wyatt, and I know it wouldn't have made sense in that particular match.
Yeah.
And your big return was Zoe Stark. It's like, come on, man. Well, you got to do better than that.
She wasn't a return. It was, she has
like
a big,
your surprise.
Surprise,
like,
yeah.
I thought, oh boy.
I mean, I don't know. I feel more of it being like a NXT call-up. Like, they're now positioning Trish to, like, mentor Zoe Stark, I guess, if that's needed. But, yeah, it was kind of whatever. Nobody was expecting that. There hasn't been any hints that Zoe Stark is in cahoots with Trish. So it was a little strange. But we also had Bianca Belair and Asuka, and Asuka finally wins. She is now the Raw Women's Champion. Very, very happy about that. Very stoked. Bianca finally dropped the belt. She's been a great champion, an inspiration to little girls everywhere, but it's Asuka's time now, I think. I'm very happy about that. Did you watch that at all? Or
I saw highlights. I mean, I'm happy for her. I think I picked Bianca, didn't I?
Yeah. Most people pick Bianca. I think you and Dan picked Bianca because, you know, it's every pay-per-view she wins, and she seemed like an unstoppable force, but it's time, man.
Nice too, and maybe that's a way to bat signal New Japan. Hey, guys, look who just went over here. You got Forbidden Door over there, but look at over here. So,
It all felt very Triple H because you know Triple H had a lot of faith in Asuka when she was in NXT, undefeated streak for hundreds of days. So you could kind of feel this vibe of like, yeah, Triple H is officially running this thing because Asuka won. Seth Rollins is his guy, you know, he's been mentoring him this entire time. So having Seth Rollins go over and become world heavyweight champion, that's also a big Triple H move. So it just felt fresh. Like it felt like, okay, yeah, things are definitely changing now. Rhea also had her match with Natalya, which I guess you can call it a match, but Rhea came out and squashed Natalya in under a minute. And it was beautiful, dude. I don't know. I've declared that Rhea Ripley, to me, is the greatest women's champion that we've had. I think she's dominant. She's got the charisma. And that whole scene when she won, Dom ran up to her and she carried him like a baby. And he was pointing at Natalya with his tongue out like, ah, it's beautiful. It's perfect. I love it. Keep more of this. Give me more of this.
I did like her segment tonight on Monday Night Raw.
The Judgment Day segment?
Yeah, with AJ and Seth Rollins. I know Finn's the leader, more or less. Or it seemed like, at least in this segment. But she held her own with three, you know, other dudes. Well, two and Dominic. But
yeah.
I was hoping they'd have a rebuttal for Max Caster's kind of jab. Oh. I thought that would be really funny if she said something about him. Like
she didn't say it on TV, but she did tweet out. She tagged Dom and tweeted out that, hey, look, Dom, we're over in two companies.
Yeah, but I was really, because she had a look on her face like she had a line ready, but maybe they told her, hey, don't do it if it doesn't fit the vibe of the crowd. But we'll talk about that later. But
yeah, that was great.
That was pretty funny.
That was a great line. John stepped out, but he's back. We were talking about the women's division at Night of Champions.
You picked the right time to get out.
Yeah.
Just kidding, women.
I'm just saying, this is the most invested I've been in the women's division in a very long time, if at all, ever. With Asuka and Rhea at the helm of as the champions, like those are my two favorites. So I'm very, very happy right now with what Triple H is doing with the women's division. And then also we had Gunther beat the shit out of Ali, which is, I think, what everyone was expecting. I don't think anybody was expecting it otherwise. For a moment there, he had us believing because, you know, it's a hometown boy and, you know, maybe they'll do it just to please the crowd. But thankfully, they did not, and they kept Gunther as a champion.
I think we're seeing the new trend. They're setting you up for that big hometown win with somebody, but they're starting the new trend of you losing your hometown.
Oh, yeah.
We saw that with Zelina. We saw that with Sammy. We saw that with Mustafa. I think you're going to lose in your hometown, and there's going to be one where they're going to make people assume the person's going to lose, and there's going to be a surprise win. And I kind of like that about WWE right now. Of course, the week that the event that I didn't put any picks in, I got every prediction right.
Wait, Mustafa, New Jack's old tag team partner? That's for the old fans.
Well, he came out with the similar outfit.
He put up a good fight considering, but you knew he wasn't going to win. Yeah. Also, could I just say under the Triple H era, I love all of the entrances now. They started before Triple H. I'm not going to give Triple H all the credit, but the music, the actual entrances, Imperium I hated for some reason. And then one day I saw them live and I'm like, this is kind of cool. And then on TV, I'm excited to see their intros.
Oh, yeah.
I will say I watched some of the entrances and then I compared them to AEW's, Double or Nothing entrances. And man, it's like from A to Z. Even with Jade's entrance, which was probably their most elaborate.
Jade and Taya both had good
Taya's
entrances.
It was pretty good. But Jay's was like a B version of what WWE would pump out.
It was almost a B version of what they did with Bianca at WrestleMania. Bianca had little girls. This one, they were grown-ups, but still.
They should stay away. I mean, unless they're going to... Like we've talked about, you can't compare production values. It's a 50-year company against a 4-year company. So either don't do the elaborate stuff or like step it up because it makes Jade look amateurish, with whatever that thing was.
Yeah, the best production they have entrance wise is the House of Black for me.
Those are great. Yeah, WWE and especially the promos. Like, I don't know if they have a specific handler for their promos, or it's just whoever does everyone else's, but theirs are excellent.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, Trips has got a reputation for good entrances. I mean, NXT brought us some of the best. Like Finn Balor's entrance was incredible in NXT. Bobby Roode, he had the glorious entrance. Like he's known for putting on really good entrances, so I'm excited to see this more in the main roster for sure. And then finally, the one that we haven't talked about, Brock beating Cody Rhodes. I saw the internet complaining that Cody Rhodes is being like a little too cautious, like the whole broken arm thing to sell the fact that, if he's going to lose, but it's because of the broken arm. I mean, I don't know if that was completely necessary, but whatever. Tonight on Raw, we're getting a third match. So I guess that's happening at some point.
Cody's being stinged.
I mean, it makes sense to keep Cody looking strong, but I think it's inevitable that Cody is going for Roman's title at some point.
Yeah.
They're going to keep the title on Roman. Cody's going to finally finish his story. I mean, it's predictable, but I do see that they're being smart about Cody, and even if he's not going to win, they have him at the top tier matches. He's not at the mid card. He's not working his way back up after the Royal Rumble win and the loss at WrestleMania. He's staying at the top, fighting their biggest people. I don't know who would be next. I guess this is going to go through SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, I forget who said it online, but I saw someone mention that it feels almost as if they're playing out the Dusty Rhodes hard times gimmick with Cody.
Yeah.
They're making him go through hard times and then eventually finish his story with Roman.
What I don't is that they unfortunately branched two stories for Roman, which is, I think Sami Zayn is also another story that's not over for Roman.
No, I think they're done after this weekend. I think after the whole, I think that the story for the Bloodline will now shift into Jimmy and Jay versus Roman and Solo.
For now, but I think when we get into the territory of Survivor Series, when we get into Money in the Bank, I don't know if Sammy's going to be in there, but the Royal Rumble, I don't think Sammy and Roman are completely done. I think people still want to see that.
Maybe. I personally felt after Night of Champions and especially today with Raw, we've moved on. Like KO and Sammy are now having matches with Imperium. I think they'll now go through the men's tag division, eventually leading to a split for them. But I do think the Bloodline story is now going to just shift into within the Bloodline. Like there's talk about Rikishi coming and being with the Usos to help them out with, now that they're not going to have their tribal chief or Paul Heyman on their side, that Rikishi will take that role. We'll see if that actually happens.
Rikishi, why don't we bring back Haku? Like, come on.
Rikishi's their dad. It makes sense to bring in the Bloodline.
That we know of.
That we know. That's true. That we know.
He was a wrestler from the 80s.
That's true. That's true. Either way, though, I felt that Night of Champions was a good pay-per-view. Unfortunate location, but again, Sammy's entrance made me tear up, dude. When he came out in the get-up and the crowd was going crazy, it made me tear up, not for Sammy or anything, but just for the progress of him being even able to be there and not get murdered on site. You know what I mean?
Made you tear up because you realized you'd spend $60 on it.
I don't pay for pay-per-views.
I love it. I do.
I understand. Do you not have Peacock?
I do. I'm not paying for it.
I pay for the pay-per-views. I like to lose as much money on this podcast as humanly possible.
Here's what I'll say. I will say that WWE probably regrets doing the Peacock inclusion of pay-per-views, because I think AEW's raking in money doing the pay-per-views old school, and WWE is sitting there like, for $10 a month, you could watch our pay-per-views too. Yeah.
I do like it. Like, I know Peacock, I don't know, I guess it's so that the user interface is a little difficult to understand, but if you can navigate the New Japan website, this is a fucking breeze.
Yeah.
It's a good deal for $10. Like, yeah. You're right. Like, I paid, $49 for AEW. If it wasn't in Saudi Arabia, I would have paid another 50, 60. They're probably $60.
Well, that's if you want the no ads / you get the promo packages. You don't have to pay extra to watch Night of Champions on Peacock.
I'm saying. If they went back to the old, like, DirecTV.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know,
yeah, my I don't pay for Peacock. I have a Connect, but
Jesus, bro, it's $10 a month. Like, I mean, I'm Jewish.
He's acting like he's robbing the bank here.
You have a connection to get you $10 off on Peacock?
Hey, I don't have to pay for Peacock. That's an extra $10 in my pocket a month. I don't know. Anyway, I liked the pay-per-view. I thought it was a good one. It felt fresh. Felt like a new era of WWE. So
how do you feel about all these pay-per-views in a row being overseas?
It's a little odd, but I mean, it makes for hotter crowds. You know, Puerto Rico was great. The crowd in Saudi Arabia was hot, and I'm sure London's going to be hot. So whatever, man, I don't care. I mean, I as long as they keep doing them here every once in a while, so it doesn't go completely global. Yeah. But I'm cool with it every once in a while. Sure. All right, we also had Double or Nothing. I'm not going to cover NXT Battleground except for like one match, which I put on my notes down below. Go out of your way and watch Ilya Dragunov versus Dijak. That was insane. I mean, there are pictures online of Ilya's arm swollen and purple from just kendo stick shots, chair shots, table, stair shots. Like, it was out of control. I highly recommend you watch that match. The rest of the pay-per-view was good too. It was solid, but I'm not going to cover it. Just go out of your way and watch that Dragunov Dijak match. Double or Nothing, though. 9 matches. Very long pay-per-view. It's still too long. It's less than 15 matches, which they've done in the past. It's still too many. 9 matches is still too many. But we started with the Orange Cassidy Battle Royal Blackjack, 21 guys thing. It was fine, and I think I picked Cassidy to win, which he did. It makes him look strong. I don't know. I thought it was a good way to start the night. Fun, exciting spots, crazy lucha spots everywhere. What did you think?
I did like Bill lasting until I think he was the third.
Yeah, he was one of the last three or
second
four.
Second to last, or I don't know if that would be third or second to last. It's just not believable that this guy would be dominant against everyone who's smaller than him. So I like that. He looked strong. I thought it was a good way to semi-build him up to maybe be a future opponent for Wardlow or someone of that nature.
I'd love to see that. Wardlow and Big Cass, or Big Bill, sorry, not Cass. Big then, Bill.
Good. Some good spots. I mean, the Republic of Lucha had some good, put-together moves.
Yeah.
It was all right. I mean, I don't know. I thought the beginning of the pay-per-view was a little slow. Like, the crowd was dead, I thought, for the first 2 matches.
The crowd was dead all night. They were popping for certain things, but, like, throughout the action, it felt like a Japanese crowd because they're very polite and quiet, yeah. And they would just pop for, crazy moves.
I don't know if they had, like, I know they don't do dark anymore, but it was almost like they had like warm-up matches or something took the energy out of that crowd before the first match even started. So I don't know what went on in the arena beforehand, but even the Jericho match was like...
Yeah, Jericho and Cole was a good match, but it was dead. No audience.
Kind of a weird ending, though. If you watch that ending, it was almost like one of them got hurt because Jericho did have a real injury right here, and that injury seemed very, like, call it.
You know, yeah, it was very quick.
Like it was just, there was no build-up to, like, you know, this fantastic finish because they did do a good job of building up that storyline to a degree. I mean, it was kind of loosely or fastly put together, but I thought one of them got injured.
It's possible, man. I mean, I know Jericho took some nasty, nasty kendo stick shots to the ribs because they're all red and purple on the side. I mean, he was probably out of breath and just like, just go home, kid. And, you know, doing those hammer shots.
Something like either a hematoma or something popped because...
Yeah, he was red. It was red. It was kind of, I don't know if he was bleeding.
Something bursted. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, so those first two matches, I thought, well, oh boy, this crowd's pretty silent.
Yeah, the crowd was pretty dead throughout the pay-per-view. Like I said, minus a couple spots here and there or a couple entrances. But anyway, the Battle Royal was fine, I guess. By the way, I will point this out. I love Commander, and he does great shit with the Lucha Brothers and everything in the ring, but... There's a spot that he does where he'll hold on. He was holding on to Jay White, and then he was just bouncing up and down on the ropes, like going from the top rope to the middle rope to the top rope. That's too many times. That's impressive, physically impressive. But if I would have been Jay White, I would have just pushed him off that very moment.
I do think I wanted Jay White to win.
Oh, yeah.
I do think
they're wasting
him. They're wasting him a little bit. Like, I get the Bullet Club goal with Juice Robinson, which I do like. You know, Juice Robinson's in that like support role, like Sean Spears was with MJF, but it's like, man, you beat WWE to the punch with this guy. He should be singles, and like this would have been a nice. If I'm the writer, I'm like, he beats Orange Cassidy. They do a program, and then, you know, I just think they're wasting him.
Yeah, having a little story with Ricky Starks. That's just been happening.
It's too long, and there's no payoff.
There's no payoff. They need to start bringing in more Bullet Club Gold members.
Who else is in Bullet Club Gold?
Like it's just them. It's just Juice and Jay White at the moment. So they need some new members to make it an actual faction. And they need to start doing Bullet Club shit, like just running into people and taking over matches. I think that's what Bullet Club would do in Japan. That was the whole point of Bullet Club. It was the foreigners going to New Japan to just disrupt the system. And they would just show up in the middle of other people's matches and fuck everybody up. You know, like that kind of thing is cool. They need to do more of that with Jay White. Cause yeah, like you said, he feels wasted right now. FTR beat Team Impact, much to my chagrin. I wish I would have given the gold to Double J. FTR wins with Mark Briscoe as the special enforcer. That was also fun, but kind of whatever. There was a spot with Aubrey Hepburn.
She took a legit. She's really grown on me. And I know Marty, our friend.
Oh, yeah.
Has.
Well, no, he's talked shit, but he kind of went back on it a little bit. He was like, yeah, after working with her, I like her.
Yeah, so, no. Yeah. I mean, she took a chair shot from Jeff Jarrett. That had to hurt a little bit.
It was Jeff Jarrett's wife. I forget her name.
Oh, okay.
Something Jarrett.
But still, you know, for a non-wrestler to take a chair shot, a guitar shot.
It was a guitar shot, yeah.
That, you know, props for her to say, yeah, I'll do it. Fuck it, let's do it. So, I mean, that match was okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think she should just become a wrestler because she was wearing, like, wrestler makeup, too. Like, she had the big makeup. And she's taking bumps. I mean, fuck it. Just start wrestling. Who cares?
I'd like to see her turn into a Nick Patrick heel ref. Like, if you remember the WCW days when he was, like, the NWO ref.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She seems like she'd be a good heel. Like,
sure. Yeah. I mean, has there ever been a ref that became a wrestler? I mean, that'd be fun. That's a cool story. That would be fun. Yeah.
But so far, we're at three matches that we're okay. That's not a great start.
No, no.
Wasn't that the storyline for the guy who released Paige's videos?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't watching it.
Maddox?
Maddox, yeah.
Wasn't he a WCW exec? Or am I thinking of someone else?
No, I think he was a ref that became a wrestler that became a GM.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I wasn't watching wrestling during that time period.
But back when I was a kid, there was a great heel ref. Probably the best heel ref ever was Danny Davis. And, like, you know, he was always stooging for the heel, you know, whether it be Rick Rude or, you know, he was in with Heenan. So I think there's something there with Aubrey. She's got, if you follow her on Instagram, she's got a great personality, and she posts, like, no makeup pics, and I love that. Like, she's real.
Is her last name Hepburn? I called her Hepburn.
Edwards.
Edwards. Aubrey Edwards. Sorry, so, I called her Hepburn.
She's a potential, not star, but, like,
a character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to the Cole and Jericho, what was the point of Sabu again? I mean, God, man, I love Sabu. It was great seeing him do the chair spot with Jericho for 2 seconds, but like, what? Like, he was gone in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's what AEW is. They're a gym wrestling promotion that happens to have a TV deal.
That's owned by a billionaire.
Yeah, they happen to get these one-off deals with these guys. Like, hey, just come in for one thing and bail.
I would not. I mean, I love Sabu. I mean, I remember, I think it was basically XPW's WrestleMania at the sports arena with him and Terry Funk and this wacky burning barbed wire bullshit in front of like 100 people. Like, man, this sucks.
Yeah.
We have trouble entering the room.
Oh, I would shit. Say, oh, shit. Lois.
Oh, shit.
This is that, huh? This is the other Comedy Store podcast show.
Lois, yeah. We have a run in. Lois, come here.
I've heard of this.
Oh. Welcome to Comedy Store Wrestling, Mr. Matt Edgar, Store Horseman. A real honor. Sit there.
Have a share this mic with you?
100%. Yeah. Whoa, whoa. Well,
sorry.
There's one right
I'm
under
not,
the...
I'm not
There's
used
one
to
under
this.
You if you want your
oh,
own.
One. Get your own mic.
Get your own
you
fucking
store
mic.
Store Horseman stoolie.
This is how you guys do it in here? You have mics on the floor and shit?
Gotta pick up Earl's farts,
this
you know?
Dogs and
no,
stuff?
This is dog's farts. I'm not farting. Oh,
this
sorry.
Studio has gone to shit.
Oh, this studio never would have looked like this if I were still in town.
I can't even tell Tony about this.
Oh,
this
man.
Disgusting. So, how are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just in Vegas.
I know you did Hunkamania. We talked a little bit about that at the start of the show that he wanted to go and couldn't go, didn't get invited.
An invite would have been nice, especially when I bought one of your $19 t-shirts.
I don't think they were willing to ask you to drive that far.
I would have, because then
I would have taken the drive with you, Earl. Next time we'll go down there.
I
drove alone. I could have used a buddy.
We could have gone
because we could have done like Kimmels and like squeezing.
We could have made it a thing.
And
fuck,
I could have been your social media guy.
Exactly.
Well, let's get a time machine and go back to Saturday.
Yeah, fuck
night.
It.
How was the show? It's space?
The show is great. Have you been there?
I have
the
not.
Space? It's a great space.
Great space. Space is a great space.
Yeah, a lot of fun. There's some wrestlers. Okay. Not too many.
How did Bill do?
I saw Big Bill.
Bill did really good.
He's
Bill's
good.
Got the thing, man.
He's got the itch. He's got Bill, the talent.
You know what Bill did? At one point, he flubbed a line. And then he kind of drew a blank, and he was like, hold on, let me look at this. And he pulled out his phone and read the rest of the joke, which, you, as you know, Earl, we should never do that. It's not the move when you forget. You got to – there's many ways – there's other choices you can make. That's not one of them.
You could do.
But somehow it worked.
Well, we're also not 7 feet, 300.
Yeah, did it work?
Yeah, I don't. Nobody's scared to not laugh at what I say. So I don't know what it's like to be that.
That's the curtain call of comedy. It's like you don't want people to see behind the curtain, and sometimes it does get a laugh because it humanizes you.
That's right.
Which you kind of need when you're 18 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like his opening joke. Did he do? He just stares at the crowd for a minute and goes, let's get this out of the way. I'm fucking huge.
I like his peeing in the sink material. Yeah. If you guys haven't gone to a show that Bill Burr's, Big Bill Burr.
Big Bill Burr is peeing in sinks now. Yeah, that was, I liked his set here. He did two sets here, right?
He did one at Hunkamania, and then John and I got him a potluck set. And I got to be honest with you, there were 7 Comedy Store, not paid regulars, but like, what would you call Comedy Store adjacent comics?
Yeah.
Who went on before him? He had the best set. So not a good look, comics. That a pro wrestler's done it fucking twice is already ahead of the game. So stop going to fucking pool parties and networking at the Improv Tuesday Night Mic, trying to get Rita to say hello to you. And like, Put in the work, you idiots.
What is the longest you've gone without referencing something Jeff Ross related?
I didn't say anything about Jeff Ross. Yeah.
You know what the fuck you said when you meant pool parties.
Whoa, listen.
No,
whoa.
There's a lot of open
No.
Matt Edgar, that is the name that shall not be said in here. I don't know what you guys do on your other show. We do not mention that name here. We have to scrub our social media. It becomes a big deal.
On my dog's life, how many times you go on Instagram and you see comics at pool parties, nothing to do with Mr. Ross, and it's like, why don't you guys go to an open mic and work on your material so a 7'2" wrestler isn't doing better than you two belts in?
You think these pool parties are happening 24/7 and that's 100%. All these guys are doing?
If you go on my Instagram stories, you see all these losers. sorry, I'm back to heel, Earl. I tried to be nice.
He tried to baby face turn.
I missed the whole face turn.
Going back, all you fucking gobones, you know, up there right now kissing Renee Lancaster's ass when you talk about how bad he is and what a schlub he is, but I just saw one girl. Hey, you look really good in that suit. Can I go up? Beat, beat, beat.
Really?
Out of town.
Did that really happen?
100%. You think I would lie on a wrestling podcast?
No, this is pretty much where you're most honest.
Yeah, so, yeah. It
really is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also saw Max Caster was at.
Max Caster, I brought him up.
How was he? In terms of his comedy.
He didn't do comedy.
He just did rap.
Just rap.
No, he did sneak a joke in there, though. He rapped, but he snuck a joke in there. He was like, thank you. Something about people coming out and then how he came out. I don't know. It didn't really land.
No.
His rapping, you can't fault. He's actually a good rapper.
Oh, absolutely.
That was my favorite part. His rap of the
Double or Nothing.
That's not a good sign that his rap was the best part of the pay-per-view, but
you mean Sabu just falling off the top rope?
What a shock.
It was a fall. It wasn't a jump.
That's what I'm saying. my good friend Christopher Burns of the store Horseman.
We don't mention that name either.
Made a good point. He was like, that was like a Buzz Lightyear falling with style. It's like it landed perfectly.
Yeah.
But it was not.
But what was the whole point of bringing Sabu out for 5 minutes so he could fall off the top rope? Who woke up Grandpa to bring him out to Vegas for that?
Well, he had no affiliation with Cole. Or Jericho, or really Vegas.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand it. I mean,
because AEW cares about the immediate pop. They're like us with laughs. Like we do stand up because we need it up front. I'm not gonna write a joke and wait for it to air to get my laugh.
Here's what I'll tell you.
I will.
It reminds me of. I compare what AEW does with their surprise one-off guests, crowd work. It's their version of crowd work where you just need it for the social media clip. Oh my God, look who's here.
Yeah.
15 seconds. It's the weirdest thing when that comparison hit me, but it was like, this is what comics are doing.
It's like they did it for Adam Cole just to do for that one clip of Adam Cole saying the homicidal. That was it.
But there's got to be someone else, and I'm a huge ECW guy.
I'm a huge Sabu fan.
Yeah. Sandman, that era, Rhino. But there had to have been somebody else that could have given you a bigger pop, a bigger social media. Like, oh my God, they're here for one shot.
It should have been Zack Ryder. I don't know why nobody's bringing him back.
Cardona. He is a hardcore king. That's who Zack Ryder is.
Oh,
Cardona.
I can't.
Matt Cardona?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Cardona. He's being a piece of shit on Twitter to everybody, but I kind of like the character.
Yeah, he was the deathmatch king for a little bit in the indies. I don't know, man. I'll tell you what. My wife had no idea who Sabu was. She saw the headdress, and she saw the announcement of Suicidal, and she cringed very hard. She was like, ooh, what? Really? Are they saying that? I'm like, yeah, it's a long story.
It's from the 90s.
it's a different time. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I felt the Sabu thing was wasted. I mean, it's cool to see Sabu. Obviously, and smashing chairs with Jericho for a few seconds, but I don't know. It felt wasted. Tony Storm beat Hayter. Hayter apparently is legitimately injured, which is why she dropped the belt to Storm.
That was another match where I thought, oh, someone got hurt because it was kind of an abrupt ending.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys something real fast? Did you already talk about Jeff Hardy?
Oh, we're getting it.
You're gonna get
no, that was in the pre-show. We didn't even get to that. Like, I didn't.
With the
even...
guns. Yeah, we can go. I mean, I guess
we can go to it
just real fast, and I'm gonna get out of here. But
no,
I just
dude.
Talk. No, I got to.
You can't do an NWO run in and just come out with it. Dude, you got to stay here for the finish. We're gonna.
Fucking Dennis Rodman. I'm just barely here. There'll be clips, and that's all there is.
So I missed that match. The Hardys and Hook versus Page and whatever.
Another guy they're wasting, Hook.
Hook is great.
Yeah.
Hook is fucking great. Is he still undefeated?
Yeah, but now he's with the Hardys for some reason.
Huh. Well, I think Hook is also probably still developing, and they're just going to give him these developmental spots. It's almost like, you know, in stand-up when somebody's, you know, like, or at least let's say the Comedy Store stand-up is somebody's friends and family, but they're killing harder than the paid regulars, but you got to let them cook politically.
Right. Like Angelo Bowers. Now we're delving into comedy.
Inside baseball.
He was someone who should have been passed because he was funnier than half of us. But, you know, I just think they're wasting him. How long does it take to develop this kid?
I mean, he has a championship.
Well, I think you need to see him lose. I think you need to see him be tested. You need to see if he could sell. Because he doesn't, like, you never see him hurt.
No, that's true.
You know, like, a champion's going to have to make it look like he's hurt. There's a lot at stake. Like, The Rock was losing. I mean, The Rock in a match was losing most of the match. You think about that? Like, in that era when he's the people's champ, he was losing, and then he'd pull it off.
Yeah.
Because it's like the Muhammad Ali thing. It's the like the rope-a-dope thing. Yes, right. So you got to see Hook be pushed to the wire and then see if he sells good. All we know is him being completely dominant doing Taz's moves.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
I mean, that one move he did on Big Bill.
I was there for that.
Dude, like, that was impressive. Like,
was that the T-bone suplex?
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, they're going to push this guy. They just showed him lift up a guy 350 pounds, and then they just...
That. By the way, later that night, that's when Big Bill came over here and did some stand-up. We should call him Big Bill Burr, by the way.
I mean, as long as he's doing
stand-up. It's a gimmick, yeah.
Shave his head, get a red beard. Yeah. But you're saying Jeff Hardy.
Is he hurt, or was that an actual botch? I think it
was a botch.
Yeah, it was a botch.
It was a real botch.
Well, he was...
Which part of it? Were they both botches?
In AEW, that's hard to believe.
Believe it or not, somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Because I know he was playing the injury, but, like, you could tell his foot slipped.
The rope. But you think the twist of fate was a botch? Or was that a work? I think that was a work.
Probably.
And I think he slipped on the whisper in the wind. Yeah.
This is what's great about AEW, though. They really have you thinking, what's going on here? Is this a work? Is it a botch? It's interesting. They, you know, of course, no one saw the warm-up show. I mean, RJ said he was the star of the warm-up show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Funny,
yeah.
He's
so fucking funny.
Great guy.
Love that dude.
You've had him here, huh?
Yep,
he's been in here.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah, he's been in here. He's been on my show. Like, this week, actually, I just dropped the episode with him, and he's one of the best.
Have you had the hunk in here yet?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I got to say this. I want to put this on the record. The hunk is in the comedy's getting fucking sharp. They did a Q&A at the end of the show, and they treat – for our hunk shows that we've been doing – they usually treat the Q&A as like it's almost like a B-side at the end of the show. Mm. If there's time left, they'll do some Q&A. Maybe three questions, maybe – like, they don't really care about it. This last one I was watching, I was like, you know what? This is the main event. Those guys were funny together. Hunk plays a whole thing where, you know – I mean, it's kind of the Brody thing where it's bragging about pathetic stuff.
I love his joke where he talks about they usually put me up against a guy with a better record, and 7 minutes later they have a better record. that's fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
And Dolph is funny. His story with Tajiri. When he was wrestling Tajiri, and, you know, if you've ever seen him do the joke, he talks about Tajiri not being able to speak English, and so he's trying to communicate with him, and then at the end he speaks perfect English.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're really funny, great guys, and they have an improv background, so they're not completely blind to weird things happening in their stand-up sets and being able to deal with it.
Yep. Very self-aware dudes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? To go back on the Jeff Hardy thing, though, I think we need to retire them soon.
Yeah.
It sucks to say, but they're both looking really rough.
Unless they want to start taking DDP yoga.
Ooh.
They should.
They should.
And have a like a revamp.
You would think that Jeff is doing DDP yoga with his whole sobriety thing and that whole issue, because, I mean, that's mostly what DDP yoga does, mm-hmm. help people in that situation.
But it's also those ladder matches. You can tell with Christian, I know we'll talk about that in a second, those are brutal on your body. And those guys, that's your prime, their ladder matches.
Yeah, that was my shit.
Even if they were the most physically gifted people, no booze, no, vitamins up the ass, their bodies have to be a wreck.
Dude, the Swanton bomb alone. Mm-hmm. That's such a painful spot, mm-hmm. every single time for Jeff.
Well,
every time.
You see the way he's adjusted it in the later years.
Yeah, where he puts his entire body weight on the fucking...
He lands on the guy. He used to put it... Most of the impact was on his back.
Yeah,
his shoulders would land on the guy. I have this observation, and tell me what you think, because I would say Jeff Hardy is in better shape than Matt Hardy. I know it looked bad on this Sunday, but... I would say that the stiffness alone, Matt can't even turn his neck. He's like a toddler.
He walks like
waddles
this.
Everywhere, right? And Jeff has always been loose. You know, his first wrestling injury was later in his TNA days, and it was past all the a decade after all the ladder match Attitude Era stuff. Mm. Whereas Matt has been hurt, he had been out, a regular wrestler, right?
Yeah.
If you look at their styles, they're very different. Matt Hardy is. Though I think he's probably the more innovator as far as moves. He's created moves. What's that rock bottom thing he does where it's the side?
Oh, yeah. He does a side. Oh, fuck. I forget.
There's that. Yeah. I've never really seen that before. The twist of fate, I know it's just a cutter, but it's a different, take on it. And, he has some different stuff, I think. And I think he probably has the more better wrestling mind than Jeff Hardy. And I also don't think Jeff Hardy would have ever had the discipline or even gotten involved in wrestling the way he has without Matt Hardy. Yeah. I don't think there'd be Hardy Boys without Matt.
Yeah,
right?
Matt's the brains.
I think he's the brains. Yeah. However, I think Jeff is in-ring stuff. If you look, my favorite thing about Jeff has always been the way he sells. He goes ragdoll. He goes limp. If you throw Jeff Hardy, it's almost like gravity just takes over. He's not really trying to there's no stiffness. He's very loose. So I think what happened, it's when they say if you're in a car crash, if you see the car's about to hit you from behind, don't tense up, just kind of roll with it. Mm. Because when you tense up, that's how the injuries, your joints are taking the impact. Whereas Jeff kind of just his whole career, he's just been loose. Anytime he goes through a table, it's very soft. And anytime he gets thrown, it's like I said, the ragdoll thing.
Yeah, the Shawn Michaels
Matt,
thing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Ziggler, the best sellers do that. Yeah. Matt is very stiff. He also did... Any of those guillotine leg drop guys that use that, the top rope leg drop, those guys are all fucked up. That's completely on your spinal cord.
Oh, yeah. That's why hip is all fucked up, too.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's even though Jeff probably has more highlights as far as the crazy shit, the ladder stuff, Matt is more fucked up just because he's more traditional.
Yeah.
Whereas Jeff is – and so I think there's been more longevity with Jeff, but then the other things outside the ring – is what slows him down.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Jeff is like those car dealership balloons.
Yeah. A Bailey buddy.
Yeah. Wacky waving inflatable arms.
Right.
It's also interesting to see the new wave of people they're beating up with ladders. Poor Ricochet. There is not a ladder that hasn't beaten his ass. He's the next one that's going to be walking crooked because he only wins matches to be in those, to qualify for the ladder matches that he's never going to win. He's not getting Money in the Bank, but he's going to take a few throws through a ladder.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's an unfortunate thing when you're naming a wrestler that if you give them a one-word name, they never really go past that mid-card thing where... I mean, Edge is the only one I could think of that has, but or Kane. Kane and Edge. But everybody else, it's like... Ricochet, it's a cool thing. The whole thing is cool. His style, his name, his look, everything. But it's not like a champion. A champion has a... first and last name.
Undertaker,
look at
Warrior,
Kane.
Yeah. Right? Kane, Warrior, Undertaker, Edge.
Cesaro. I don't think it's the name. I think
Cesaro didn't do it.
I think Cesaro. He's going to completely... I think for Ricochet, it has nothing to do with the name. It has to do with fucking... I mean, The Fiend was the champion at some point. That's the dumbest name
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but The Fiend was the champion.
Sure, but so was Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but I
once you already put the belt on somebody, it's like it's like the crack in the dam. You could just keep going.
Ricochet, he's too tiny, and he's just becoming the ragdoll superstar. That fucking Braun Strowman, one of their moves is just throw him out of. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. He's the go-to spot guy now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he got himself in that position from always being that. You know. Like, hey, look, I love his spots. I think he's great. I think that style is very fun, especially if you're in the room. If you ever go to a PWG?
Oh, yeah.
That's when you see that shit,
that's how I became aware of all the whole roster is just PWG guys that were tearing it up in a VA hall in Reseda.
Oh, yeah.
And but that style is so spotty. So when the WWE hires them, that's what they have them do.
Yeah.
You know, rather than a full like because like who's like right now, who's the champion in WWE?
World champion, Roman.
Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Those are champion names.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, I mean, they can name him Rick O'Shea.
All right, brothers, I got to go. I'm about to do a spot on stage. I got to go.
Get it, dude. I'm going to go get it. You're a good guy right here.
Yes, hey, you're a great guy, dude.
Plug away right here.
Yes.
Plug? Oh, well, dude, I mean, hey, check out my wrestling podcast, Star Horseman.
He's going to heel.
Hey, Austin people, I'm in, when does this come out?
Tonight,
great. The 2nd and 3rd, I am at the Vulcan Gas Company. I'm at the Mothership this week. If you're in Austin, I'm there. All right? So if you're in Austin this week, I am there. I'll give you that.
Follow at Matt Edgar.
That's right. Matt with one T's. Good guys. Love to hang out with you guys more. Fuck yeah. Yes, man.
Come on down whenever you want, brother.
Love you, John.
Love you, dude.
All right. Continuing on with the Double or Nothing stuff. I said Toni Storm beat Hayter. Hayter is legitimately injured. Hopefully she can recover in time for her appearance at Wembley Stadium, her hometown. Hopefully that, you know, that whole thing happens. A lot of people were like, no, she's got to walk in to Wembley as champion. Like, no, she doesn't. I think it would be a bigger pop if she wins the belt at Wembley, right?
I agree.
Yeah. What else we had? Jade and Taya, which we already talked about. Killer entrances. I honestly, when I saw Taya's entrance, I was like, oh, that's a championship fucking level entrance. She's going to win. But then I realized the number that they hadn't gotten to 60-0 yet. And I'm like, oh, nope, she's losing because they need to get to 60-0. They're not going to do 59-1. It's just weird. So they're going to give her 60-0. And they did, which unfortunate for Taya. It made her look strong, though. So I have have hope that she will become champion one day there. But then we got the surprise after she beat Taya. Smart Mark Sterling came out and was issued an open challenge. And out came a returning Chris Statlander from her injury and beat Jade in like 2 minutes or something like that. And now she's the new TBS champion.
See, I thought this was when Mercedes Moné would come in. And this is the perfect, you know, to be not a squash match, but like perfect way to set up a feud culminating at London. Because I know you have Forbidden Door in between. But I don't know. I mean, I did like how they had her lose. It was kind of shocking. Like, oh, fuck. She just lost to Statlander. I did think they were going to keep her undefeated until London. But, I can't critique it that badly until I see where it goes. Like, if this goes nowhere, I think, oh, that's a mistake. They had her lose at the first of three pay-per-views. I basically look at these pay-per-views as, you know, a threesome. Like,
trilogies?
I mean, basically, each one should build until London. But I this didn't do a good job of that.
Well, I think they're going to move Jade into the main championship picture now.
Well, actually, from what I've read online, apparently Jade's taking some time off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What do you, I mean, is she hurt or?
Nope, just taking some time off.
She's got a case of the Triple H's.
She did 60 matches undefeated back-to-back there, and maybe she just wants to spend time with her family or something, but no injuries reported, just kind of wants to take some time off.
I mean, she's a presence for sure. I could definitely see WWE interested in her. I mean, she's
for sure.
A great look and she's got good heel personality. I mean, Statlander, I don't know.
She's a big girl.
Oh, no. I mean, I did like it because it was kind of shocking. Like, oh, I didn't see that. None of us would have predicted that.
Yeah.
But I do think it. I understand why they're probably holding off on Mercedes till London, if she even comes at all. But Or she's hurt too, I guess. Maybe that was the plan.
Maybe it was the plan. They had to, you know, figure someone out. Like, I know Chris has been also injured, and she just came back from injury. So, yeah, I mean, it might have been the plan, but Mercedes got a broken ankle, so.
Yeah, so.
Who knows?
I mean, it was, that match was okay. I mean, it was interesting.
My heart wanted Taya to win, of course, as a, you know, friend and of the show. I was hoping she would win, but we'll see what happens with that. After that, we had the House of Black with their House Rules matches, which I've been wanting to bring up. We haven't really talked about it much, but I love the setup now with the house. They have the screen on with the flickering, like, white smoke thing, and the audience has crazy lighting, and they have their own rules, the 20-minute or the 20-second countout rule, and giving the dealer's choice to who, the opponents get to pick a stipulation or a rule. I don't know. I think that's exciting. It keeps it fresh for the Trios Championship. But they had an open house challenge, and out came the Acclaim with Daddy Ass. They had a great match. The Acclaim, we talked about it, kind of mentioned it, but the rap from Max Caster was incredible.
It was the best one by far. Like,
yeah.
You know, do you want to explain the, because you know more of the inside.
Yeah, he broke down each of the members of the House of Black, but then when he got to Buddy Matthews, he said, look at Buddy acting all ominous when he's getting cucked by a kid named Dominic.
Like, that was like...
They cut right to Buddy. He was just like...
I'll assume he was in on the joke.
No, man, I don't think they say. I mean, they kind of just say, "Hey, I'm gonna rip on you," but they don't. I don't think he runs it by them.
He did look pissed. I will say, like, he had a look of like, "Hey, motherfucker, that's my wife.
Yeah.
I'm gonna beat your ass when we get backstage." Not someone I would want pissed off at me, because he's a. I know they compare him to Omega a lot, but yeah. he's bigger.
He's jacked, yeah, he's jacked. So, and also, you know, kudos on the balls on Max to cut a line like that before the match. Like, you don't think you're going to get a receipt during that match?
But it's a great line. I mean, I love it when they kind of, both companies mention the other and little digs. And,
oh, yeah.
But it was a good match. I mean,
it was a good match and acclaimed. You know, I felt like they have been losing steam since they dropped the titles, but putting them into Trios action is actually a good call, I think, for them with Daddy Ass, because, you know, he's got to have something to do too.
I mean, he does the job. I mean, he's 60. He looks amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is unbelievable how good he looks at his age. You know, he's good. You know.
Yeah. That was fun. We also had what I think should have been the main event, which is your world championship match, the Four Pillars match, Four Pillars four-way. It just devalues the title to me when you don't put it at the main event like that. I don't know, man. I thought it was dumb. But we had the Four Pillars, Sammy Guevara, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, and MJF face off. MJF with the cool throne, the devil
that
throne
was cool.
Intro.
That was kind of WWE-like, like, okay, then.
They're trying. Pretty cool intro. Good match. I mean, MJF, though, once you had them all four in the ring, it's even more obvious how those other three guys were not ready to be champion.
Well, I did love MJF. He did a little homage that probably a lot of people didn't pick up on to Rick Rude.
Oh, with the hip.
I thought that was pretty cool. And I think my favorite part of the match was when they were all four doing their finishing moves to each other. Like, you know, they were like a chain and they were all like each had a finishing move on the other. That's something I've never seen before.
Yeah, that was
like,
pretty cool.
I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, he should be the champ going into London. Unless you have some wacky storyline where he loses at Forbidden Door and that's the rubber match or the follow-up matches in London. So... I mean, that was the first one where the crowd's getting a little into this because there were some nice spots. And wait, did we go over the Wardlow Christian?
Oh, game? No, we jumped over, they left it open, but yes, we should go back to that.
Because I do think that was the starting point of when he did the spot, the crowd got into the
they
card
woke
a
up
bit more.
Yeah, yeah. Wardlow retained against Christian Cage despite having Luchasaurus at ringside because. Luchasaur was taken out by a ridiculous, and that was a tall ladder. That wasn't a standard ladder. That was a tall ladder. Fucking Swanton from Wardlow through a table. How? Why? Like, what's...
Very, you know,
impressive.
When he was climbing up the ladder, I'm like, there's no way he's going to do a swanton. Like, it's just, it's too dangerous. You know, you can't even rehearse something like that. Like, he can go up there and then Luchasaurus, okay, I see how this is going to look. But, like, that's, like, he's a great athlete, and I don't think they play into that enough. Like, although I did think, and this goes to AEW's cameraman, there was a spot where he slipped, where Wardlow slipped through the ladder. And you could tell he was hurt, like, and the camera guy's right on him. Like, you could hear him kind of go, oh, fuck. Where the WWE camera would have, like, gone somewhere else so he could have his recovery moment.
Yeah. So,
but, I mean, I love Christian, but I don't think he should do ladder matches anymore because his body just can't do it. Like, and that's no, there's no shame in that.
Yeah, yeah. He's done enough of it.
But, you know, if you have him do one, and it's a very... There's not that many ladder spots, and I don't know. I'd just rather be a regular match, you know.
Yeah, they just threw the ladder gimmick because of Christian, because of his history. They made it that. But, you know, again, good match. I thought, you know, impressive performance by Wardlow. And, yeah, he needs to build up some steam. They need to stop hot-shotting that belt so that it starts to mean something again. So it'd be cool to see him go up against like a Big Bill, like we mentioned earlier, or some other bigger guys. And then finally, we had the Anarchy in the arena. Oh, I'm sorry. Real quick, just a congrats to Sammy Guevara and Ty announcing their pregnancy right before the match using the little cue cards from like, I don't know if you guys remember that, but Sammy in between commercials would have the cue cards and he would talk to the audience while they were doing the in-screen thing with the commercials going on because you can't hear him. So he would just talk to you. Via these cards. So I thought that was cool for him to do his little pregnancy announcement with that. So congrats to him. But anyway, after that, we had the Anarchy in the Arena match, which they had a band play out. Was it the original band? Was that the original band?
I don't know. I asked the people I was watching with, who are these guys? So that's
I may
sign.
Have been the band that wrote Wild Thing.
Oh, I don't think so. No, that was like Mitch Ryder.
Yeah.
Like. That's not... Yeah, that was not the original band.
Okay, so I didn't know who the hell this band was, but the dude came out in blackface.
Not a good look.
Not a good look, dude.
Especially with Max Caster's zinger on Malachi Black for...
Blackface,
You know, and then, I mean, you know...
And I get it. It wasn't blackface. It was like
black
a mask.
But it looked like blackface.
It was a little rough.
A little tone deaf.
And the internet has definitely not been shy about it. So it was interesting that they kept playing.
I like that.
Through the match.
I thought
it
was fun.
Yeah. And then it ended with a super kick. And that's when the music finally stopped. And they super kicked the singer.
I didn't think that was... I mean, that was... I thought the match was too chaotic in terms of the camera work. It was like...
Yeah, it was everywhere.
There was a... probably in the middle of it was like Claudio, went to him real fast, and then they missed... I think they missed an Omega spot that was pretty good. And then they went to Brian Danielson. I didn't like the herky... I understand it had to be herky-jerky, but I don't like these, especially a four-on-four... arena thing, because it's just you can't cover it all.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was pretty hectic. I mean, at one point there were people outside in the concession stands, there was people in the crowd, there was people in the ring. It was fun though. I mean, Moxley bleeding buckets as usual, like almost immediately just bleeding buckets, which I thought was funny because MJF during the post media scrum pointed out the reason that the world championship wasn't the main event was because he didn't want to roll around in Moxley's blood after the fact. He was like, they're going to have that match. There's going to be blood everywhere. And then I'm going to come out there and roll around in his blood. No, thank you. So
that makes sense.
That was kind of nice of him to bring that up. Fun match, chaotic, the exploding super kick to John Moxley.
That's pretty cool.
That was cool. I've never seen anything like that. I think they posted a picture of the Jordan afterwards, all burnt up from that. I thought that was cool. But the big thing that happened in the match is Don Callis eventually came out with Takeshita. Takeshita turned heel on everyone, beat the shit out of the Elite. Everybody thought he was going to join the Elite. Nope. It seems like he's joining Blackpool Combat Club. Maybe. I don't know if Don Callis is part of the Blackpool Combat Club. I guess he is. I'm not entirely sure.
I understand the storyline. Basically, you just mapped it out. But I thought this was where they could have done a like a setup for Forbidden Door, like you know, not Okada, but you know, someone, because I don't think Takeshita moves the needle right now. Like, I don't think when he unveiled this ninja scarf, I don't think people are like, oh my god, this is. But like someone like Okada or I don't know who else from New Japan would have been a good way to set up Forbidden Door.
Well, technically, after the show went off the air, Omega cut a promo to the audience in the building where he called out saying, you know, now that Takeshita's turned on us, like, you know, we need backup. And he's like, I still have a friend or two. And the rumors are that that friend or two, obviously Ibushi, the Golden Lover, but Okada is actually in a story in New Japan against Moxley right now. So it might be Okada.
I mean, that would be great. Or, you know, you know, I couldn't fail to mention his name on this podcast. I would have marked
Kamala.
If Kamala, that would have been cool. No, Kamala number two. That guy's still alive. Osprey.
Yeah.
That would have been like, I think, a good way to end it. It wouldn't have really made sense to align him since he's United Empire with Blackpool, but like...
Hired gun, whatever.
Yeah, so I mean, the crowd was into it because it was so fucking wild, but the payoff with Takeshita wasn't there for me.
Yeah, no, I think Takeshita is more of like, just let's continue to... This story's going to keep going, so let's continue to outnumber the Elite. So now it was 4 versus 3. They got Hangman, so it was 4 versus 4. So now they got Takeshita. So now it's 5 versus 4. So now they need a fifth guy. So it's either Okada or Ibushi, which is fine. But they should have left that on the show. It shouldn't
100%.
Shouldn't be after to the crowd and the audience hoping that someone catches it. Which obviously, I guess, it leads us all back to these Sabu instant spots. The AEW is focused on social media. Like, they know that they can get numbers through social media and through viral moments and through people in the crowd. So, I mean, I think they get that eventually that Omega promo was going to get out there, but it should still be on TV.
I mean, especially for the people like me who bought the pay-per-view for $50, you know, make them feel like you get bang for your buck. Maybe they'll throw it up on YouTube, which I'm assuming, maybe being the Elite, they'll put it up on that. But I don't know. I thought the ending was good, but I don't think there were many oh my god moments for this pay per view. Maybe the Wardlow thing, like, hey, did you see Wardlow do the Swanton?
Right.
But which I, you know, once again, it goes to, I mean, maybe you could say they have 5 pay per views now, but when you only have 4 to 5 pay per views a year, you got to have everyone be bangers, like, oh my god, water cooler, or on wrestling podcasts like this and whatnot. And I don't think that happened. So, you know, I give the pay-per-view a B-.
I had people hit me up going, the NXT pay-per-view was better. And that's bad.
Well, like I said, it's not good that my favorite part, and I'm an AEW super mark, I guess you'd say, was Max Caster's rap. You know,
yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I thought it was a limp way to go into Forbidden Door. So now the pressure's on to make Forbidden Door like this. Oh my god, because you got to set up London now. So,
yeah, I'm hoping that now with the introduction of Collision, they're talking about it being a kind of a brand split thing. They start doing more pay per views so they can make them shorter and more impactful, because these super long, not like 9-match, 10-match pay per views. It's already a drag. It's a long time to be sitting around watching wrestling. And if all of that, you know, if you're only getting like 1 or 2 moments out of that, it just feels bad. It's a bad pay-per-view.
And I also think that, you know, and this is where Vince is a lot different. He would have had, instead of Takeshita, he would have had that be CM Punk. Think of how much better. And now I know that the politics and all, but like, that's something that where Vince gets all those guys in the same room and says, listen, CM Punk's going to cause you guys to lose. And that could possibly set up Collision, you know, or Andrade would have been better than Takeshita or Miro. You know, what happened with that promo where Miro walks into Tony Khan's office and then I thought, oh, he'll be on All or Nothing. Like,
no, he's gonna be on Collision, that's all.
But like, they could have used even the ending for the pay-per-view to set up Collision.
Yeah, that's true. Just a couple more things, just random news things. NXT has had a hooded female taking out the entire women's division there, and rumors are that it's Mandy Rose coming back. That would be fun.
I think that that would be a smart move, considering nobody's really talking about NXT.
Yeah.
I think that was the last time they were talking about it, other than Scott Steiner, Rick Steiner's transphobic rant. I mean, that was the last time I heard anybody talk about NXT, which was when Mandy Rose was fired.
Yeah. So, I mean, they like I said, the pay-per-view that they ran against Double or Nothing, I heard was good. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched the Ilya Dragunov and Dijak match, which, again, you should go watch. Bully Ray... I don't know. I don't really watch Impact. I know you started watching Impact.
A little bit, the burning table spot. Yeah,
I fucking threw the president or owner or whatever he is, Scott D'Amore, through a fiery table. I mean, what's going on over there?
I mean, I've seen so many better fiery table spots. I mean, it was all right. I mean, you definitely, if you're on YouTube, you definitely stop and look at it. And the guy... did a pretty good job of taking it. He didn't get set on fire.
Yeah, thankfully.
I don't know. It looked like they had something around his lower shirt area. Maybe it was a fire retardant shirt. I'm not trying to be funny. Like,
yeah, probably like a spray or something. Yeah.
So, I mean, it probably got them the results they wanted, which is just views. But I don't know what it means in the long term.
They have to make sure that there's no point in time where all three of these companies are in the same city on the same weekend. There just aren't enough hospital beds.
Yeah.
Like amateurs do. Like, Bubba Ray's not an amateur, but I'm sure this guy hasn't been thrown through a fiery table before.
No, man. It's like saying, it's like them throwing Tony Khan through a table. Like, he's their Tony Khan. He's their on-screen president, booker, whatever you want to call it.
How long do you think before that happens? You see what a fanboy Tony Khan is. When does he become the Vince McMahon character?
He shouldn't, though. Like, Vince, whether you like him or...
I mean, he could build a star like that. Stone Cold was built by Vince McMahon.
Yeah, but Vince is a big guy, a big intimidating guy. When he came out with took his blazer off and he's jacked. Like, that makes sense. We know Tony Khan weighs like $150 soaking wet. So.
Yeah, but so does Adam Cole. That's not a bad feud right there.
But I don't think, I think with Vince, though, like, he's got that it.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know what it is. It's like when you see a comic who's like about to blow up.
Yeah, with Tony Khan, it is autism.
Yeah, he looks like a kid with ants in his pants. Like, yeah. Who's a billionaire? Like, hit that dead stare, like, oh, like, we got Collision coming. It's going to be great. We don't know the city, but it's amazing. And that outfit he had on last night where he looked like a James Bond sidekick, like, from the Roger Moore days. It's like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
So, he should be behind the scenes, and it's his company. He's never going to be behind the scenes. He's going to do his announcements, and he's like a little kid, so good for him. But no one's going to ever be Vince.
I think eventually, if they start hurting, they're going to eventually bring him in to do something. But
or you bring him in. He's like, hey, this is, now we have three shows. It's a little too much. I'm bringing in a GM, and you make the GM someone who could actually fight and build a feud like that.
Goldberg.
I mean, that's honestly not a bad idea.
I mean,
would have been great. Like, not to bang on Takeshita, but, anything just to get in on that exclamation point. Goldberg, even Sting would have been, Sting's a heel now. Like, it would have been, get people talking.
It needs to be a global superstar that, like, is global in the pop culture world. It's not, like, and when I say pop culture, like, people that only watch one brand of wrestling knows who they are.
Mm.
I think MJF has that. I think...
I don't know if he does worldwide yet. Like, that's why I think I'm interested.
I mean, I rarely watch AEW, and I know who some of the key players are that were not in WWE. So that's half the roster gone already. I know Kenny Omega. I know the Young Bucks. I know Hangman Page. MJF was probably the first homegrown talent that I know. That's like their John Cena.
But I'm very curious who they put him up against in London, because, like we've all said, that's an international card. So I think you have to... I don't know if MJF is huge in London or Japan. Like, he's certainly known, but I don't think you can put him up against another American opponent. I think it has to. I mean, MJF and Okada would be awesome. He's a great wrestler for someone who's young in the business.
I don't think MJF is doing Forbidden Door. He, during that post-media scrum, buried New Japan. He's like, am I going to be on Forbidden Door? No, that is an indie fed, and they just do an indie show, and I have no business being
so
there.
So he'll be on it.
He'll come out at some point for the...
You have to set up him in London on that card. Like, you just... You know, here's
well, that's why McIntyre is like a shoe-in, if depending on what his situation is.
I would
is.
Mark out a little bit. Like,
that would be fun. That
so
would
it'll be
fun.
Interesting. Cause yeah. I think
the place would go fucking nuts. That this is what they wanted when they did whatever, the castle show. You send him in there, and he takes the title off MJF.
Oh, that'd be something that non-wrestling fans or certainly non-AEW fans would be, hey, did you watch AEW?
Exactly.
Like, they have to have more of those moments, given they only have, you know, so many or so few pay-per-views.
Because the weird thing is that they do those moments, with the exception, I guess, of CM Punk. Not CM Punk, Daniel Bryanson and Adam Cole, who were at the end of a pay-per-view. They do all of their big surprises on their weekly show. And it's like, you're not telling people that they're missing out on big things if it's not at the pay-per-views. And what they have done at the pay-per-views so far have not been surprising enough.
I will say that's my favorite all-time surprise, with because everyone thought it was going to be Danielson, and then it turns out it's Adam Cole, and oh, that's it. And then Danielson comes out. That was so well done. I would really love to know who wrote that. Or maybe no one wrote it. You know, maybe
Tony Khan.
So, yeah. You know. Hopefully, I mean, you have to make London the biggest blowout card you can. But Bischoff made a good point, and it's risky because he has no skin in the game, so he can have this take of don't have any WWE people on it. You make this AEW New Japan. Like, don't have any outsiders come in, because then it's just... But I don't know if they can afford to do that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I get what he's saying.
Well, at that same media conference, Tony Khan mentioned that he has been having very good conversations with Bill Goldberg. So you could probably bet on him showing up in London for sure.
Don't put him on New Japan. It just would not.
No, that wouldn't work. No, but put him in London for sure. I think that'd be a good one of his, you know, Goldberg wants to retire. He wants to do a bunch of cities. I think that's a good city to retire, you know, to be one of your retirement matches in Wembley Stadium.
And his entrance is fairly low maintenance. I mean, in terms of, you know, just explosion at the front of the...
Hopefully he doesn't break his skull open on the freaking door on the way out like he's done in the past, or he comes out bleeding already. Like,
we had a farming accident this week or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah, he cut his head or something. Yeah, I saw that. And then finally I have... There's tonight on Raw, we had two things happen. Shayna and Ronda Rousey are now the new women's tag champions, which is unfortunate for Raquel Rodriguez, but it makes sense. You know, it doesn't make sense to put together Raquel with a fourth new tag partner and have them win again. Like, it felt right to give it to Ronda and Shayna, even though the internet disagrees with me. And they announced through qualifying matches that Ricochet and Nakamura are in the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Other rumored folks are LA Knight, Damian Priest, and Dom Dom.
And Cody.
Well, Cody, obviously, yeah. Cody or so Brock.
Do you think Cody wins? Are they just going to give every big accolade to Cody up until he wins the title? Are they going to hand him Money in the Bank? I just think that it's not a Cody thing to cash in a Money in the Bank championship like after somebody loses. So he's going to be one of those Money in the Bank guys who cashes it in and says, on this date, I'm cashing it in. I don't like that. Yeah. I like the surprise factor. Give it to LA Knight. LA Knight can either dethrone Rollins or Roman. I don't give a shit. But LA Knight needs a title. They're going nuts for this guy.
Yeah, they're trying to pump booze in. It's not working. You can see, you can hear the crowd going crazy, and then all of a sudden, like a switch in audio, and then there's boos out of nowhere. But you see the audience is not booing. Everybody's doing the LA Knight thing and the, yeah. So
literally a megastar. Yeah. He was in Saudi Arabia. They were screaming his name at Triple H.
Yep.
At the press conference. They were screaming LA Knight at Triple H. There was no, it's not like they showed his image like they did at the event.
They just wanted to see him.
It's crazy.
I would give it to him as well. I wouldn't give it to Cody. I think Cody just keeps doing big things. Not, I don't think they'll give him the accolade of Money in the Bank, but I think he'll keep doing big matches all the way to WrestleMania, and they'll figure out a way. Maybe he wins the Rumble again. Maybe he fakes another injury, because that broken arm, boy, was that a work, huh? Like, that wasn't even close to just, like, come on.
I said it was a work.
It's not a broken arm. Get out of here. He did the broken titty. He's going to have to do the, you know, the broken arm, and maybe the next one is a broken ankle. Who
I mean,
because
if one of these guys says they have a headache, Triple H gets them out for months on concussion protocols.
Right.
I don't think he's letting Cody, the guy who just took a year off from injury, fight with a broken arm. It's so dumb.
Yeah. I mean...
And now he has to have a broken arm for a few months.
Yeah, he's doing like Make-A-Wish appearances with the freaking sling. Like, okay, guys, come on. I get it.
But it is, I will say, it is, in their defense, it is believable that Lesnar could break your arm.
Oh, for sure. So especially with a Kimura.
If it was someone else, it's not really believable, but like.
Should have had him break the arm with a Kimura instead of it was apparently the stairs that broke the arm. I don't know. Whatever. There's a lot of wrestling happening. There's a lot of wrestling still coming. Money, what is it? Isn't there a pay-per-view coming up next week, too? In
For
June?
Who?
I don't know. There's another. I think WWE don't they have one in June?
They have
that's
one
money,
every month.
That's Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. But it's soon, right? Isn't it like 2 or 3 weeks?
Probably. I mean, here's what I'll say. This is the first time in a while where I don't feel like WWE's oversaturated. They're delivering good content on both shows. I think SmackDown is clearly a stronger show, but I'm excited to watch again.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels fresh, like I said in the beginning.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening and watching. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast. Please follow the show at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Stores War on Twitter. Earl, where can they find you?
Earl Skakel on all social media, Patreon included. And I'm at the Comedy Store a few times a week, so DM me and I'll get you tickets.
And John.
Say it ain't Sosis on Instagram.
There you go. Follow John. Follow all of us. Support the show. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next week.
Say goodbye, love.